You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as you just mentioned, this is a live call-in program, and we will be calling, taking your calls live on the broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. But as I've been telling my audience, I have dipped my toe in the waters of digital media, meaning that the social media platforms, which were completely foreign to me just a few weeks ago, have become little by little more familiar. And so I have been using Twitter. I mean, other people have tweeted for me, but I'm tweeting myself now. I'm making Facebook posts myself now. And today, my son David said to me, "Dad, you need to let people know that their questions are going to be answered if they make those questions known to you through Facebook posts." And so I just did a little video and told people that I would be accepting their Facebook questions as well. And they started pouring in. So I'm going to devote a little part of the show to answering Facebook questions as well. I, again, very excited about social media. I did my first vlog. It was yesterday. And how this worked is my son walked into the office. He said, "Now, better than never. If you don't do it now, you're never going to get started." I was kind of resting between doing a taped show and then getting ready to do the live show. But in duty to my son, who I love, I got up and he held a little antiquated phone. I mean, his is a very old phone. I have a newer phone, but he held his phone up and he said, talk to your constituency about what's going on with your life, your health, and so forth. So dutifully, I did that. And we posted that on Facebook. And lo and behold, I just looked at this, or actually someone told me this, one of my staff, that some 42,000, I think it was 42,388 or something like that, people had viewed that video. So I was just absolutely astounded. But all of that encouraging me to communicate the message that we have been communicating for 30 years, not change the message, but communicate that message through many different vehicles. So again, I'm delighted with the number of people that are listening online. I'm thankful for our traditional media outlets. Sirius XM 131 comes to mind immediately, but many independent stations, KKLA, and on it goes. But I'm also really excited about wading into this world of digital media. Some people might be thinking right now, what took you so long? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. If it weren't for my staff and my kids and my wife, I'd probably still be stuck in the 20th century. So I'm grateful for everybody that's helping me along. I did want to mention something before we go to our callers, and that is something that I read on NPR, National Public Radio. It's their health news section. It was quite stunning to me, and I think it may be stunning to you as well. But there's a point in me reading this to you, and I'll get to that point in just a few moments. NPR starts out in this article saying that Max, age 13, is agender. Max is neither male nor female. So when referring to Max, you don't use he or she, you must use they. Now, this is actually pontificated. It's not a suggestion. The dogmatic assertion is Max, 13, agender, he's not male or female. And this comes through people who are very, very knowledgeable as psychiatrists and psychologists. One psychologist quoted, Diane Aaron Saft says, we are seeing more and more kids saying, you know what? What's with this either-or business? What's with this boy-girl? And you have to fit in one box or the other. So all the paradigms of civilization, to be a bit redundant, seem to have been kicked to the curb. So what does agender mean to Max? Well, Max is instructing us now. It's sort of like he's teaching those people who are Neanderthals a little bit about how human sexuality works. And he says, because I don't feel like I'm both guy and girl, that means, of course, that I'm neither. And just as an aside, there's also a little piece in here, a sidebar in the article about gender versus sexual orientation. And the explanation is gender is the way you express yourself to the world, and your sexual orientation is who do you go to bed with? The definitions are, well, I would say interesting at best. So if, according to NPR, same-sex marriage was yesterday's battle to redefine gender roles and privileges, and transgender rights is today's fight, American society may now be on the cusp of the most transformational shift yet, the end of categorizing people as either male or female. Well, how do you translate all of that? Well, you translate that by saying we have to, as Christians, come to the realization that the sexual revolution has posted a very decisive victory. Complementarity with respect to same-sex marriage is now, well, I mean, you know it. If you've not been under a rock, you know it. It's considered pure, unadulterated bigotry. And of course, the latest permutation is what we're talking about, gender fluidity, or agender status, or 57 different gender designations. What we're witnessing in real time is what may rightly be called the abolition of what it means to be human. By the way, the cover story in the Christian Research Journal is on just that. It's one of the reasons that all last month I was so excited about putting that journal into the hands of people. We have to look at what the abolition of humanity looks like today. And Dr. Adam Pelser did that in eloquent fashion in the journal. I think it's must read. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe. But again, biblical anthropology has been cast aside, meaning that the Christian worldview has been jettisoned. Now, why is this important? Why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because this is a social experiment that is going to end very, very badly, and that for millions and millions of people. Which means this. The church continues to have a role. The church will be picking up the pieces of lives that have been devastated. The reason being is now we are all kind of marching lockstep to the tune of a social experiment based on the size and scope of the latest lobby group. We're not sailing by a North Star. We're sailing by whims that are extraordinarily dangerous. Long-winded, I guess, today, but Forensic Faith by J. Warner Wallace. It is the resource of the month. It's a phenomenal book. You just need it in your arsenal, plain and simple. It's available for those who support the ministry. It's about a homicide detective. By the way, I used to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast in his in his police car. He makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. He's become a top drawer apologist, and he knows how to make the complex simple and attainable. This is a book whereby you can learn to make the case for the case. We're talking about the case for Christianity. Well, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go to the phone lines, take a few calls, and see where it goes from there on today's broadcast. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Julian, listening in Cincinnati, Ohio, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Julian.
Hey, Hank. So I was calling because I just wanted your advice. I backslid a little bit, kind of fell into some sin, and I was just having some trouble. You know, I know that I've been forgiven. I understand God's grace, but I'm just having trouble, you know, singing worship songs or just worshiping the way that I used to. So I feel kind of a disconnect, so to speak. So I guess curious what you have to say, maybe, if you could help me out.
Yeah. Julian, good question. I'm glad you asked it. And this is the condition that many people are in. Sometimes I've referred to it as being a baptized secular humanist. It means that you had a transaction sometime in your life where you received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, but you're not living an active, participatory faith within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church. And this is precisely what is necessary. The Christian faith is not transactional. In other words, now I have my get-out-of-hell-free card, and I'm going to live by the principles of the world. No, the real issue becomes, as a Christian, we start to live our lives by a divine order. And that happens within a community of faith. It happens as we apply disciplines to our lives. I mean, I can sit here all day long and say, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds. Now, this stage of my life, for some reason or other, I'm losing pounds pretty quick, so I don't want to lose 20 pounds. But I could say that if I was overweight, I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to lose 20 pounds badly. And I could tell a lot of people I want to lose 20 pounds. I really believe with all my heart in losing 20 pounds. But if you don't get into the physical gymnasium, you're not going to lose your 20 pounds. If you don't push back from the table, you're not going to lose your 20 pounds. So no matter how much you are in love with the idea of losing 20 pounds, unless you get busy about it in terms of discipline, it's not going to happen. Now, if you're in the Army, you got somebody watching over you, and they're guiding and directing you and making sure that the weight comes off. If you're in the NBA, or not the NBA, I should say the NFL, I was just reading about Kelvin Benjamin this morning in the sports section. He happens to be, one of our great wide receivers, but he's come into training camp overweight. Evidently likes to eat, according to the article. And, if he's overweight, he's still going to be pretty effective because he's a very talented guy. But he is not going to be able to shed defenders with that extra weight like he could if he was at the optimum playing weight. Well, he's been paid a tremendous amount of money to play football, and the coaches are going to be pretty sure that they're going to put him through a strict regimen so that when the first game of the season is upon him, he will be fit. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that's why they exercised the last year on his contract and all of that. Well, this is the kind of discipline we need. And quite frankly, this is why I'm so excited about being part of a church family that is keeping me disciplined. So for example, before I took the Lord's table on Sunday, there was a time of preparation. It was a time that I did not eat. It was a time in which I fed myself spiritually so that I would be prepared to take or partake of the real presence of Christ in a worthy manner. So again, Julian, no simple answers, no magic bullets. It means that you are part of a healthy, well-balanced church whereby you partake of the disciplines that are necessary to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So we're all in training. Paul was training Timothy, and in a healthy, well-balanced church, we're being trained to reorder our life according to the divine principles. We are coming to Station Break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And I do promise I'm going to take the Facebook questions as well. I'm just going to take them as they came in order. I think it'd be unfair to do anything else because so many came in. I think first come, first answered. That's how we're going to do it today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And we do recognize this is a live program, so you can call in your questions and I will take your questions live on the broadcast as well. We'll be back in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. If there is one gift I wish to give you, says J. Warner Wallace, it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith. Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And do remember, tomorrow is a National Day of Prayer. I don't want this National Day of Prayer to come and go without us really being focused in a concerted effort as Christians in prayer, not only for our nation and our leaders, but what's going on in the social dynamics, and I talked about that a little bit at the beginning of the broadcast. I did another vlog today. Put a little iPhone on the top of my computer and talked into it for a few moments about my own pattern of prayer. Of course, I've written a book on prayer called The Prayer of Jesus, which is available through the ministry. But we're not going to release that until tomorrow, so don't be looking for it now. But it will be up tomorrow. A couple of other things that I want to mention, and that is, we have lost a lot of support because of people who have made very, very false statements about me over the last few weeks. I don't engage these people. I pray for them, and I sincerely do that, but I don't engage them. Reason is I found that to be a futile endeavor. But I will tell you, when we were unceremoniously booted off of Bot Radio, it was done in a way that broke our contract. It was supposed to be a written notice by either party for, 30-day written notice for either party. But we were canceled immediately. Well, what does that mean to me? Well, the contract is the contract, but that's not the main issue for me. The main issue for me is I did not get to say goodbye to thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I had cultivated a relationship with over radio, and that over many, many years. And that is my grief unspoken. Now, obviously, there are financial consequences to that as well. People hear what the president of Bot Radio has said, essentially, to capsulize it. He said, Hank has become orthodox. We want to remain biblical. And I couldn't imagine a greater slap in the face than that. I've spent my entire lifetime memorizing the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, mining the Word of God. So what has been said in this regard is just absolutely false. I am more committed to the Word of God than I ever have been before. Bottom line, those who have left, God bless them. But I need many people to join CRA's monthly support team, or just people that join the support team in general. That's the base that gives us the support to be able to do what we're doing around the world, and particularly now as we're wading into the waters of social media. So if you can join the support team, it would be deeply appreciated. And here's what I do. When people give on a regular basis, I personalize a book to either them, their family members, friends, whatever you would like. And you can pick any one of my books. One of the most popular, of course, is the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Check it out on the web at equip.org. But please know that we need many people to step to the plate and join the support team in the midst of this little tempest that is going on, and eventually will give way to greater good, all things work together for God's good and for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I was just reading, my secretary handed this to me on my way into the studio, so I feel like I need to read just a few of these. I'll try to do it in just a minute or so. Paula, thank you for doing this, Hank. I met you a long time ago at a church lecture in St. Louis, and that night you changed my life, and I will be forever grateful. I've been a BAM supporter, a Bible Answer Man supporter, ever since, and never miss a broadcast. Here is Loretha, very, very simple. Love your show. Debbie, you will be my daily prayers. You have been my mentor in my walk with Christ. And I can't tell you how much your teaching and truth have made a difference in my walk, and thus I have passed along to all those I've come in contact with the blessings of your teachings. Prayer to your family, too, as they deal with this bump in the road. God bless. Susan, prayers for restored health. Laura Lee, thanks for your openness. We will continue to wrap you and your family in prayer. I'm going to leave it at that. But many, many more, a really big stack of people sending in their best wishes and their support, quite frankly, prayerfully and financially. So I'm grateful for that. And here's what I'm going to take. I'm taking another live call, and then I'm going to take some Facebook questions. Brad in Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Brad.
How are you doing today?
Doing okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound great.
Awesome. Hey, I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
Is there any particular translation of Scripture that you feel is superior to another? I was challenged recently about, you know, the King James Version being the best translation of Scripture. My personal preference is New American Standard. I understand different translations, the punctuation, readability, comprehension, different grade levels, that type of thing. But I just want to know if you could talk about that, and also if you had any resources on your website that I may be able to access.
Yeah, you can check it out on the web. With respect to Bible translations, we do have resources that are posted there. But yeah, just a couple of comments in response to your question. The first is yes, the King James Version withstood the test of time for hundreds of years. It was commissioned by King James I in, it was completed in 1611. It was commissioned, I think it's 1603. It used to be in my memory trace, but at a senior moment. But at any rate, it was commissioned, and then it was completed. And the King James Version of the Bible was fantastic. I mean, obviously, it had some errors in the first few editions, but they were corrected over time. And I love King James. It's Elizabethan English. I'm in love with it. And so it's a great translation for me. I also like the New King James Version. The reason I do is because it takes into consideration the best manuscript evidence that is extant today. But I have personally memorized the NIV. I found that when I quote NIV, I can do it in such a way that people don't even know that I'm quoting the Bible. You know, Jesus said, for example, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And it sounds like I'm just talking, but that is precisely the NIV version of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. I love the NASB when I was memorizing Proverbs. The Proverbs, of course, are very pithy, and so NASB is more of a word-for-word translation as opposed to a thought-for-thought translation. So if you want to memorize something pithy, you like the word-for-word translation a little better. But we are blessed with many great translations. I will tell you that our church happens to offer classes in Greek, which is a great, great blessing to those that partake of them. And the reason is that now you don't have a translational problem. And once you start learning the Greek, you immediately realize that no one comes to the translational process with a white lab coat on. There are biases. So getting past those biases by reading the original languages is a great blessing. But having said that, I think it's fair to say that you can trust very much the wonderful translations that we have discussed and many others as well. Information about that on the web at equip.org. I have to go to some Facebook questions. Carl is the first, and let me see if I can read this. Why doesn't God heal me of OCD? It's a curse I've had to endure most of my life. He's talking, of course, about obsessive compulsive disorder, an obsession, a compulsion to think and act on thoughts that are very deflective to everyday life. Well, I know that there are psychologists and psychiatrists that will give you answers to this, but from a spiritual standpoint, let me give you my answer. This is not discounting any medical or metaphysical diagnoses and cures that may be out there, but let me, since I'm not in that field, I'm not an expert in that field, let me simply say, for me, what has helped greatly is the Jesus Prayer, which is simply this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, why do I pray that? And I do so many times a day. It is to remind myself that Jesus Christ is Lord and that I am a needy person. And as a result of praying that, my mind is fixed on God. And God brings to mind many of those passages in Scripture that many of you have memorized. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Or another passage that is one of my favorites: finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will, not might, but will be with you. Or Isaiah 26 comes to mind as well. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And I can just testify on a personal level, I have been in the midst of a ferocious storm, but I have never felt more peaceful in my life. Now, why can I say that? Because I trust in God, because my mind is stayed on God, and thus God will keep me in perfect peace. It is a promise, and I have seen the actuality of the promise in my life. Wow, we got so many other questions to get through, and I apologize that I didn't get to them as quickly as possible. I'll try to take another Facebook question or two in the next segment. We also have the quote of the day coming up, and a reminder that I'm deeply grateful for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I could not do what the Lord has blessed me to be able to do, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So thanks again for your prayers, your financial support, for all those supporting the ministry all this month. The great book, Forensic Faith.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith." To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from John Climacus, meaning John of the Ladder. One of my favorite books is this book. And it's one of those books that I read in little chunks and I just digest. Just a phenomenal book. And in fact, my chrismated name is John, after John Climacus. He lived to be 80 years of age. And he died in the year 603. The quote of the day is very short, but poignant and profound. Here goes. Says John Climacus, and I quote, "I have seen men who were going to steal and were not afraid of God, but hearing the barking of dogs, they at once turned back." I'll think about that for a moment. We live that way so often, don't we? No fear of God. And yet God is observant of everything that we do and everything that we say, and we will give an account of that. So they're going to steal, and they're not afraid of God, but then they hear some dogs barking and they're afraid of that. It shows how little we appreciate a sovereign God who sees not only the affairs of the world, but sees the affairs of each human being. That has really penetrated my heart. Wanted to share it with you. I'll go back to a Facebook question, then I'll take some live questions as well. This one is Debbie. And a short question from Debbie. She says, please help me explain the virgin birth to Muslims, which is a pretty good question when you think about Quran 3, 47, I believe, and there are other Quranic passages that do point to the virgin birth. But there's a real distinction that has to be made here. When we talk about the virgin birth, we're talking about God coming incarnate, God coming in flesh. A Muslim would never accept that. A Muslim believes that to think that Jesus Christ was begotten of the Father has to do with sexual reproduction as opposed to special relationship, and as such, they call it the unforgivable sin of shirk. So we have to explain to Muslims that when we talk about begetting, we're not talking about begetting in the sense of sexual procreation. No, we really believe in a virgin birth, and we believe that what is begotten is has nothing to do with sexual relationship, but it is God manifesting in the flesh. All the fullness of deity dwelt in Christ in bodily form. Now, we know that from many different arguments. We know that because the Bible says that, and we can demonstrate the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. We know that because, Jesus demonstrated through his miracles that he was divine. We know that because only Jesus Christ could walk through the doorway of the Old Testament prophecies. So the Bible says Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus says he is divine, and his miracles attest to the fact that he's God in human flesh. So the real issue is demonstrating that Jesus Christ is the Anthropos, the God-man, one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. Now, is that a mystery? Absolutely. And the Eastern Church, and this is one of the things I do love about the Eastern Church, is that they don't try to take the mystery of the Trinity or the mystery of the Incarnation or even the mystery of the Eucharist and try to explain this in Aristotelian logical, rational terms. They leave it in the field of mystery. It is beyond our comprehension. We believe it because it is demonstrably true, not that we can explain it with what my good friend Larry calls snarling logicality. Logicality, is that it? Logicality, yeah. anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. I'll take a call live. Lisa in Enterprise, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
How you doing?
Yes. I'm good. My question is about a book that was given to me, and it's called The Way of the Heart by Jayem, J-A-Y-E-M. In it, the author claims that Jesus appeared to him in a brilliant golden white light, I'm reading that from the book, and gave him these words that he was supposed to tell us, tell humanity. And it's a series of three books that he claims that Jesus revealed to him these truths over a period of years. And I was wondering if you've heard of that. The book is called The Way of the Heart, and there are two other in the series. And I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, including The Way of the Servant. Yeah. Yeah, I have. And this, of course, is exactly what you say. This is his personal esoteric experiences. Well, look, what's wrong with experiences? Absolutely nothing if they're tested in light of some objective framework. In his particular case, he has these experiences over allegedly 25 years, but these experiences and these encounters cause him to enunciate new revelations that do not have their basis in anything that is real. For example, God is love and there is no judgment. In other words, Hitler can die in the arms of his mistress with no enduring consequences. The ancients knew better than to think such a thing. Or he will say that sin is not a moral failing, but a resistance to knowing and giving this light. In other words, the light that he is communicating. Also, there's a correlation between the way of the servant and A Course in Miracles, which was developed by a Jewish psychologist who claimed God revealed that course to her and claimed that all current perceptions of reality are wrong, and then went on to talk about a God that is impersonal, abstract, humanity is good and perfect, and we are the equal of Jesus Christ, evil doesn't exist, and on it goes. So this is all New Thought metaphysics wrapped up in different clothing and disseminated through or under the guise of I had an encounter with God. It's all pure nonsense. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John next in St. Louis, Missouri. And I don't know where are you listening on the web, John?
John here. I have a question about Eastern Orthodox Church. My nephew got involved recently, and he is concerned that I'm not saved because I'm an evangelical, that because of, I believe by you're saved by faith alone is the work that Christ did for us on the cross. But I don't understand. He says that you can't understand Scripture through plain reading. You have to have the what's been passed down through the ages through the history of the church.
Yeah, I think what's unfortunate is that there are evangelicals that are making statements that are not biblical at all. There are Orthodox people, no church is perfect, that are making statements that are not defensible as well. The reality is, if you trust what the Bible tells us very, very clearly and aptly codified by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For we are saved by God's grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Of course, it might be good for all Christians to go on and read not only the next verse, but also go on and read the book of James. It is not an epistle of straw. It is a book that is poignant and profound. And I think to some degree, the aphorism of the Reformers is fantastic. We're saved by faith alone, but not a faith that is alone. And that's what James says. You show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. We're saved by an active participation in the principles and precepts given to us. Those principles and precepts are inviolate. And that's why if you go on and read Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul goes on to say, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, there's a debate about this in the Western Church, but there's not a debate about that in the Eastern Church. Reason being is in the Eastern Church, faith and works are not set in opposition to one another. So if you think back to Western Europe during the Reformation period, there was a great concern, and legitimately so, over the prevailing notion that salvation depended on human merit rather than the grace and mercy of God. Again, this was not a debate that was being had within the Eastern Church. It was a Western debate. Why? Because there was no context for the polarization of faith and works. The ecumenical councils had long settled that conundrum through the recognition that salvation comes through faith in Christ who fulfills the law. And so the councils and the early Christians would point to passages like Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Again, true faith was not just a momentary transaction in Eastern thinking, but it was a transformational way of life. Through His great kindness towards us, we are justified by faith and empowered by the Trinity to give the cup of water and the piece of bread to those in need, and in that way, bring glory to God. We want to have an active faith, and we want to partake of the graces given us so that we can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Much more could be said, but you can hear from the music. This show is done. My apologies. I was going to go through a whole lot more in terms of Facebook questions. My apologies to those who have posted their questions. I didn't get to them. Obviously, I just have an hour. I wish I could have a cup of coffee with you and talk over all these things. I know one thing for sure. We're going to be able to do that as we have communion for all eternity. In the meantime, let's make our life count. Only one life soon to be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith: A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.